Governor said that on Shabbos morning we should daven a little later than the rest of the week because the tefillos ha-keneged ha-korbanos, zmani ha-tefillos, were instituted in accordance with the zmanim of the hakrovos ha-korbanos. And regarding the daily korbanos, the pasuk says that the korban talmid was offered by boker. Regarding the korban on Shabbos that was offered, it says in the yom ha-shabbos. So Baboka means early in the morning and Bayom means a little later in the day. Nevertheless, the Shulchan Aruch points out that we should keep in mind two considerations. Number one, we shouldn't miss the Zman Kriya Shema, which they do in most shuls. But it's not proper to daven so late so that the tzibur will get to recite Kriya Shema after the proper Zman. And number two, whether or not we're considering Zman Kriya Shema, the Chazan should be careful not to sing so long that the people will go home and begin to say Kedush Shani after Chatzos Hayom, because we have a din that one is not permitted to fast on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And this applies, number one, if a person is Mekabel Tainus, he accepts the final stop of fast to fast the whole day, and number two, even if he's not Mekabel Tainus, but if Lamaister, he doesn't begin to eat his Suda, he doesn't make Kiddush, he doesn't begin to eat the Suda until after Chatzos Hayom. So in the Shulchan Aruch they recommend that if you think that Chazan is going to take a very long time to daven, you don't think he's going to get home for this, so they recommend you should have a cup of hot tea before you go to shul, so you have eaten something at least. Not only you have breakfast before you daven, but you're permitted to have a drink of water, a tea, a coffee or something. So be careful to have a drink before you go to shul if you think the Chazan is going to daven for this, so. The only time they allow you to fast for this, so, on a Yom Tov is on Rosh Hashanah, the Alteri became himself in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, because the opinion of the Gaonim was that one is permitted to fast on Rosh Hashanah, one is obligated, it's recommended to fast on Rosh Hashanah because it's the Yom Hadin. So even though this is not the generally accepted opinion, but we rely on that opinion to the extent that we allow a person to wait to begin to say Kiddush or Eid after Chazor. That's why in most of the shuls they daven on Rosh Hashanah very late, and people don't begin to go home and make Kiddush till after Chazor. Because we start davening Shachar on Shabbos later than on weekdays, in many shuls in Germany the minig was, as they record in Esforim, that the Chazan used to say the bracha of his Satav Tzitzis on the weekday before Baruch Shoah, and on Shabbos he would put on a talis and say the bracha of his Satav Tzitzis before Adon Olam. Because on the weekdays they used to daven so early, it was before this month. They would start saying Adon Olam and say the Korbanos before the time of Mashiach Chaver Berichas Dalaran. It was before this month that you're allowed to say a bracha on the top. So that's why the Chazan wouldn't say the bracha, and all the people would also say the bracha before Baruch Shemas. Even in later times and later generations, when they already daven a little later in the morning, and everybody put on the talis before davening, but the Chazan would continue his practice of saying the bracha, keep the talis as part of the ceremony, he would say the bracha, the tzad of the tzitzit, before Baruch Shemah, to remind everybody about the fact that years ago they used to daven early and they weren't allowed to say the bracha before. But on Shabbos, the practice always was to daven late, so they would say the bracha, the Chazan would put on the talis before Adon Olam, because it would be late in the day, with the exception of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when it says in the Shulchan Aruch that you daven b'hashkona, everybody gets up to daven very, very early. So again, Chazan would say the bracha before Baruch Shamar, because sometimes they would really start to daven before this man that they would start saying Adon Olam and Korbanos before this man that you're able to recite the bracha and the talents. Where exactly does the davening begin? So many shuls, the Chazan gets up and he starts saying Adon Olam. What is the Adon Olam all about? Is this really a phrase? The question is really a hymn or a praise or not. The Sfarim HaFarshim on the Siddur claim that it's not really a Sheva. This is a sort of a Mesiras Meidoras, an announcement and a reminder to everyone who's davening regarding the Kavonas HaShemos, which we are about to recite in the davening. When we say Baruch HaBaruch HaKu HaShem, HaKenu HaKu HaElam, HaShemotan HaSef HaVimah, we're going to say all the davening, the Hashem is going to say Yudkei Vavkei, Halav Dalad Min Yud, the Elohim, and so on. So the Shulchan Aruch says, what kavanas we're supposed to have when we recite these different names of Hashem? So when we recite the Shem Halav Dalad Min Yud, we're supposed to have a double kavanas. Number one for the Ksiv, and number two for the three. For the Ksiv, Yud Kei Vav Kei, that Hashem is Hoya Hova V'Yudia, and Yud Kei Vav Kei, that He is Mahava, that He created the world, that He existed before the world, and then He brought the world into existence. And also, Alav Dalad Min Yud, the Kavanah for the Kri, that God is the master of the universe. And then Elohim, that God control teva, and so on. So this is what we spell out. So really, every time we say the Shema Hashem, Aladavim Yud or Elokim, we should really have this kavana. But people usually don't have all these kavanas when they daven. So some of the questions say that's why we make a declaration. Beginning of the daven, we say Adonai Hashem Alach Kitoim Kol Tzimur, and so on. That whenever we say Aladavim Yud, we have in mind who Hoyo, who Hazeh, who Yed, who Tifaro, who Echad, and so on. And he's the Adon, Aladavim Yud, Yud Kevokim, and Rahava, he brought the world into a gift, and so on. And I was going to say, every king is going to have in mind who can do the Chai Gurali and so on. This is what the Kavanas are. And then we just daven, we don't have the Kavanas later. But we already made a declaration that whenever we say that Shem, we have that in mind. Whenever we say this Shem, we have that in mind. Right, the Vilna Gaon disagrees with the Shulchan. He says you only have to have the both Kavanas when you're reciting Shema Yisrael. The first pasuk, and then it's necessary. The Shulchan says every time you say a bracha, you're supposed to have this, the double kavana of Hoyahol of the Yihya and Alav Dalav Nun Yud every time you say the Shem Hashem. Regarding the Yiddah, there's a whole dispute in the Shulchan Aruch whether it's proper to recite it at all. Many, it's a pattern there to expound according to the Rambam's Yud Gimel Likori Hu Amunah, which not all of the Rishonim have accepted. Many dispute the Rambam's assumption that they were 13 before Amunah. They say they were less. Doesn't mean that they disagree that the Rambam is wrong. They say that they agree that these are, this is what we believe in, all these 13 principles, but they think that it's not Nikra and Amunah. Like we said, the fact that that it's dark outside now is a fact, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's an Iker Amunah. The fact that President Lehem, Dr. Lehem, is the president of Yeshiva University, and Rabbi Soloveitchik is the top Magid Shia, that's a fact, but that's not one of these studies, Amunah. And if a person is going to Shpazach and say, Dr. Lehem is not the president, Dr. Belkin is still alive, and he's still the president. Rabbi Soloveitchik is not the top Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Katz is, or someone else. So he doesn't know what the facts are, but it doesn't just because the person made a mistake on a fact, it doesn't mean that he's lacking one of the Yisodis and Amunah. So that's the question between the Rambam and other Rishonim. Are there really 13 Yisodis and Amunah that whoever doesn't believe in all these 13 is considered sort of an incomplete Jew? The Rambam calls him an Apikoros, or no? So he doesn't know, so he made a mistake for even Amharic, like if the person never heard of the mitzvah of Shiloh HaKan, so he's not an Apikoros, he's an Amharic. Whatever the Yisodis Amunah are, whoever doesn't believe in them, or whoever doesn't know what they are, is considered an incomplete Jew, is considered an Apikur.
At
the end of the davening. Yeah, we mentioned last week that Rabbi Soloveitchik thought that it's based on the Gemara and Brachos, or Shlosh Gvarim Srichim Chizuk. That, and now she comments on that Gemara, there are three things that even if you've done it once, you have to repeat it again. So and one of them is davening, one is tefillah, one is Torah, and one is ma'aseh tovah, mitzvahs. So the Rashi comments on that Gemara that tefillah and chizuk means that after finishing doing it once, you have to start to do it again and repeat it. So that was already thought that that's the reason why in many shows they sing Adon Olam at the end of the davening on Shabbos morning. The demonstrator is if we're starting to daven all over again. We just finished the davening and now we want to daven all over because tefillah is tefillah and chizuk. So many disagree with the Rambam, but there aren't 13 Yisodis Amunah. Even if there are, many find that this is a Catholic practice, that before you start praying, you start puzzling over what your faith is based on. So they say that it's a Chukas HaGoyim to start off the prayer, even if the Rambam is not a catechism, start off the prayer with the catechism to start puzzling over the whole prism of what you believe in. It's not the Jewish start, just jump in and start dominating. Why do you have to start speaking about what you believe in? You believe in what we believe, what do you have to speak about? In many shuls, years ago, the practice was that the chazan would recite out loud Alma Tilos Yadayim and Asher Yotza. And this is still practiced in many German communities today. There is a sefer by one of the early Akronim called Birchas Avraham, Shach and Yerideya, quotes from the Birchas Avraham, it's in the Mishpet, Mishnah quotes that we still also from Birchas Avraham. He has a whole attack against this practice, and it was abolished in most of the communities in Europe. His attack is the following. He says that the bracha of Amatilat Yadayim should really have been recited before you wash your hands in the morning. That is, before you wash your hands the last time before you daven, but the person wakes up in the morning and he washes Amatilat Yadayim, and then he's still not dressed, he's going to have to get dressed, put on his shoes, then he's going to have to dress his children and whatever, he's going to do all kinds of things in between, and then he's going to have to wash his hands again and before he daven, because he touched his shoes or he had a diaper with a baby or something else. So the proper thing is, if you can make your comments on the Derech HaChaim Siddur, But the thing is that you shouldn't recite the bracha until it's Yadayim, until you wash the last time before you're going to daven. Not the first time when you wake up in the morning. Because there are different opinions why you wash until it's Yadayim in the morning, and what are we saying a bracha about? But the Rambam's opinion is that the Netilas Yadayim and the bracha are because one has to wash his hands before he daven. So the last time you wash before you're going to daven is the time that you should recite this bracha. So really this bracha should be recited in connection with washing the hands. Really should be recited prior to washing the hands. Like all other mitzvahs, we recite the bracha over lasiyasa. But in the morning, usually a person wakes up, he has to go to the bathroom, whatever, his hands are not clean, so he's not in a condition that he's able to recite any bracha. So we recite the bracha after we wash our hands. But you don't recite the bracha an hour later. Then as usually you have to recite the bracha over lasiyasa prior to doing the mitzvah. If you didn't say before, you say soon after, like you say in Shulchan Aruch, you should recite this bracha before you dry your hands. So at least you haven't finished, you haven't really completed the mitzvah yet. But if you finish, you dry your hands already, you say the bracha soon after, a minute after. But to wait an hour later, the guy wakes up at 6 o'clock in the morning, then he's going to say the bracha at 9 o'clock. How's he going to say the bracha at 9 o'clock? But he washed his hands at 6 o'clock. So that's where the Birchas Avraham attacks that. You say Mashayatza. Mashayatza is a blessing that's recited after going to the bathroom. So if the chazan went to the bathroom in the morning, then he should say Hashayotza right away. What is he waiting till later? The answer is he wants to be most of the other people who don't know how to say the bracha on the Tzivos Sadaim or who don't know how to say Hashayotza. So that's the question, is that right that he should wait so long? So if the chazan davened in a shul where he davened in a German shul where they never changed the minute, they still have the old minute from before the days of the Birchas Avraham, and his sefer never affected them, and he is expected to recite these brachas out loud, then he shouldn't say the brachas in the morning. Because maybe everybody in shul already did say the brachas, he's not going to be like to everybody. So he should not say Amin Tehillah Sadaim and not say Asher Yotza until he gets to shul and then say it for himself.
If you say it twice, the second time he should be
Yatzimot? The second time, yeah. The second time he can be like the others if he knows that there's somebody who didn't recite the bracha who's going to really be paying attention to him. But if he's not sure, then what he has to do is not say these two brachas in the morning. Wait till he comes to shul to say them for himself and for whoever else may need these books.
The shul is not a shell. It's a
You mean even way later?
Yeah.
After going to the
book.
Right. In Shulchan Aruch they call that. They call the book of the
Kriya.
Well, the general accept in the Shulchan Aruch that the proper thing is to recite the book immediately after going to the book, not to wait till later.
I would imagine that that would apply.
No, the other Birchas HaShachar, there's no requirement to say, well that's a question. We assume that there's no requirement to say it immediately when the person starts walking. That you recite any time in the morning. Right. So our practice is that everybody says it in shul. Nobody says it at home. These two brachas, the Alan Tivos Sedaim and Ashayot, the Birchas Avraham, sort of did away with that in most communities in Europe. Rav Hirsch Melech Dinovan, his sefer Bnei Yisoscha, he's a Chassidus Rebbe. So his sefer Bnei Yisoscha, that's how he's known as the Bnei Yisoscha. He writes in his sefer that the minute the whole Chutz is destroyed, that he writes all over the world, the Jews, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Chazan spots from Alam Tivos Adam and Asher Yotza, and the rest of the year he doesn't. And he gives the whole explanation why this is so. I don't remember now. Most shuls today, I think the practice is that even Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Chazan does not begin with Alam Tivos Adam and Asher Yotza. This Birchas Avraham was so successful in his attack against us that he did away with it completely, not only for the weekdays, the Shabbos and for Yom Kippur, but Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur also. And so the Jews used to make fun of this. Why in the German shuls they haven't accepted the Birchas Avraham's argument? The Bracha of Akkadim said it's Laharas Yazim, it's too late. Then we recite the Birchas HaShachar, as every day. The Birchas HaShachar all appear in the Gemara. All of these brachas appear in the Gemara. The Yolam HaYadim Reshmaim Estes and Modal HaEmes, the sources in the Talmud of El Yol, the Talmud carries on the Siddur point out, till after, Atahu HaShem HaKenem Bashmaim Vot, Reshmaim HaShmaim HaYen, till Bishuli HaShem HaSechem HaYeichem HaMar HaShem. The whole thing appears in the Talmud of El Yol. There are two opinions in Poskim. After you say Mekadosh Hashim Chavarabim, and then the first paragraph after that, before you begin Korbanos. So this all, the source of all of this is in the Talmud of Baal Yom. and part of it is found in the Yushalmi as well. The Yushalmi says when we say this in the morning, you should say a bracha with Shem, Baruch Atah Hashem, Kadosh Hashem Kavram. You should say with the Shem Hashem. In the Bavli, the whole thing doesn't appear, so that's why many Poskim are involved in a debate whether it's proper to say Baruch Atah Hashem, Kadosh Hashem Kavram, or just say Baruch HaMekadosh is Shmo Baram, HaMekadosh Hashem Kavram. Without leaving out the Shem Hashem, because we always avoid, stay away from reciting brachas that don't appear in the Gemara for fear that they may have not been instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGdol. There's also a dispute regarding the Nusach of this bracha, whether you say the Shem Hashem or not, should you say the Kaddish Hashem Kabarabim or the Kaddish Hashem Kabarabim, because usually in brachas we start off with a Lashon Melechah, Baruch HaTor Hashem, you're speaking to God, and then you say Hamad Tilachim Ha'ar, or say Shachol Hiyad Ha'ar, you don't say Shachol Hatzisa Kol Dovor, Shachol Hatzisa Lechim Ha'ar. You always begin with a Lashon Nechach and you end off with a Lashon Nistah. Following the style of all of the other brachas, the Golden Groin, Rabbi Yankee Femdin, and many other Poskim Taina, that here also, when you say the Shem Hashem Anah, there's one debate. Then they say you should not conclude in the Kaddish Hashem Chobar Rabbi, you're speaking again to Hashem, the Lashon Nechach, you are Mekaddish Yom Ein Barab, but rather HaMekaddish Shmo Barab. That's what many people say. And then we recite the I don't know. That's the original Gersa that's quoted from the Yerushalmi, says Shimcha. And the Vilna Gaon and the Rav Yankee Feldman say that it must be a mistake, that it doesn't make sense. It should be parallel to all of the other brachas that we recite. So this, from the beginning of the Yadam Yerushalmayim till the Shubi Yerushalmayim and Echel Amar Hashem, the source of this is the Tzara of Eliyahu. Then the next unit of the Seder is Korbanot, which everybody usually skips in the morning, everybody usually skips that, and that's the most important part. The Gemara, all of the Rishonim point out that the Gemara says in the end of Megillah that this is Min HaTorah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram Avinu about the Bris Ben Absorim that he's giving him Eretz Yisrael. And then Avram says, Damoed Eki Rashuana, what Swiss will I have the right to keep Eretz Yisrael? So Hashem says, Kol Yegl Mishuvashis, Veiz Mishuvashis, Vayim Mishuvashis, Veseret Vezol, and the Gemara says what it means, Diskus HaKobonis. That's a Rashi points out from the Taz Munkles, the Skus HaKorban. Then Avraham Avinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what will be this man Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim? For my children will not be bringing Korbanos. What right will we have like today? What right do we have to keep Eretz Yisrael? But God tells Avraham Avinu, let the Jewish people recite the Parshas of Korbanos, and I will consider it as if they had offered the Korbanos, and because it's considered as if they're offering Korbanos, they have a right to keep Eretz Yisrael. So the Rishonim comment on that Gemara, many Rishonim comment that is the source that we have. If God told us Avraham Avinu, whatever God says is a din min HaTorah, that's a biblical din. Whatever the rabbis invent is a din min HaRabbanan. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us Avraham Avinu, then it's a din min HaTorah. So the proper thing is that we should say these Korbanos every day. If we are really Zionists, and we really feel that we have a right to keep Eretz Yisrael, the Tzaddikim should be the ones to leave it out. And the Zionists and the Drakas should be the ones who should say these Korbanos. Usually it's just the opposite.
Isn't it also possible to interpret that brought up that the Yud of the Parshat Hakamah the Tfilah is connected to Korbanot, so could it also mean in terms of Tfilah? Words of the Korbanot.
I don't think so. No, the Rishonim understand that it really means Parshat Shah, the
Sukkim
of the
Korbanot.
That's fine, yeah. So now the Shulchan Aruch quotes a topic from the Maharil, the Jewish Maharil, why exactly do we recite Ezel Mekomon? Is Ezel Mekomon recited to fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? We happen to pick something about Korbanos. Maybe we pick this parak, as some commentary said, because this is the only parak in Shishas of the Mishnah where there's no machlokas, where there's no dispute recorded. Or perhaps the reason why we recite Ezel Mekomon is also because of Korbanos, because when God told Avraham Avinu that when the Jewish people will recite the parashas of Korbanos, he will consider it as if they offered the Korbanos, means they should recite the parashas in the Chumash and learn the laws of Korbanos of the Torah Shabbat Peh as well. What's the difference whether reciting the Zel Mekonon is for the sake of fulfilling the mitzvah of Talmud Torah or for the sake of bringing Korbanos? It's considered as if they bring Korbanos. So the Maharil says that the difference is whether women have to say Zel Mekonon, that the women have to daven. Of course they have to daven. The women have to say Korbanos, which of course have to say Korbanos, like the men have to say, the women have to say. They're also Jewish. They're all Zionists. But the question is, do the women have to say Ezel Mekonon? See, if Ezel Mekonon is only for the sake of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, so if they don't want to learn, they don't have to learn. They're not either relative or full-time material if it's more than or not relevant to them. You have to know the deen, kitzur shulchan aruch, you have to know whatever is relevant to them. But if the reason why we read a well atonement is to enhance the fulfillment of reciting korbanos, then the women too are obligated to stay as well atonement. That's what the Maharil, the Mishnah Berurah, quotes from the Maharil, who quotes in the name of this mark, at the end of one of the Balei HaPeis, is this topic where the women are obligated to recite a Zehel Mekoymah. Really, after we recite a Zehel Mekoymah, the proper thing is that we should start right away with Hoidu. Because the Seder Olam, in Perek Yudalad, and the first one is to point out, the Seder Olam writes that when the Talmud Shal Shachar was offered in the Beis HaMikdash, the Nevi'im would recite this Hoidu L'Hashem Kiru Vishmo is from Divrei HaYomim. So the Seder Olam claims that the first 15 psukim or so were recited by the Levim at the time that they brought the Talmud Shal Shachar, and the next 15 psukim or so were recited by the Levim at the time that they brought the Talmud Shal Bein Ha'abai. The Gemara says a different Shir Shal Yom, Shir Shal Yom Hayom and Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah in the Mishnah is Talmud. It's a completely different system of Krokim and Tehillim, not in Divrei HaYomim. So the Mepharshim explained, no, that was the Shir Shal Yom that the Levim sang at the time of Nisach HaYayim, when they poured the wine on the Mizbeach, and this was the Mepharshim that they would be reciting, not singing, they would be chanting them at the time that they offered the actual program.
When also these comments,
right, the Shir Shal Yom, right. The Gemara explains why every day had a different Shir.
Right.
So the Gemara explains that those Shir Shal Yoms were all sung by the Levim with musical accompaniment at the time of the Mitzvah Chayayim and before the wine, because only at the time of throwing the wine is the proper to sing Shir. And this Hodeh Hashem Kiru Vishmo was recited apparently. It wasn't sung. They used to daven this, say this, at the time of the offering of the Korban. So really, we should do like the Hasidim do, like Nusach Svad. We should say Hodeh Hashem Kiru Vishmo. Immediately following the Korbanos, because that's the whole idea of Hodeh. These were the Shat
Nisucha, Bishat Hakrava, was it?
This was recited Bishat Hakrava, that's the Seder Olam.
And therefore it was not sung, but it was just said as it's been?
Because the Gemara says you're not permitted
to sing Olayan.
Right. Apparently they didn't sing this, apparently they used to recite it, they used to be framing it at the time of the offering of the Korban. And then after the whole Korban was offered, they poured the wine, then they would sing the Shir Shal Yom. They were divided into three parts, and they would flow shofar in the middle at the conclusion of each one of the three parts, and so as is described in the Mishnah. So really the Nusach Svad has Hoidu before Baruch Shama, immediately following the Korbanos, because that's what it's based on, that it was recited by the Levim or by the Kohanim, whoever was there in the Beis HaMikdash at the time that the Korbanos were offered. Why is it that Nusach Ashkenaz has Hoidu Hashem Kiru Vishmo after Baruch Shama? So the Vilna Gaon is quoted as saying that it's not proper to say any shevach for HaKadosh Baruch Hu without a mafir. Somebody said, Rebbe gave many, many drushes regarding about this theme. That one may not daven, and one may not do a mitzvah, and one may not learn Torah, and one may not praise God, or have any closeness, any hiskazah to God without special permission. Like you just can't walk into the White House and talk to President Reagan. You have to have a special
arrangement.
Right. So Baruch Shammah is in the Tilas Rishur to allow us to recite the Pesukim Dizim. And for that reason, that is only going to go for against reciting his Moshe Chanukah Kabbalah for David before Baruch Shammah, because no Pirkei Tehillim of Zimra, of Shira, of Harav should be recited before the Baruch Shammah. This is what his opinion was. But the Baruch Shammah is in the Tilas Rishur is sort of the matter that allows us to recite the Pesukim Dizim.
So that's also that the Baruch Shama is the bracha of the Pesukim Zimra, and Yishtalos the bracha afterwards. Because if you want to make a part of Pesukim Zimra, it should be included within the bracha. It shouldn't be between and not before, because it's not shy after the bracha. But if it's part of, you have this unit from Baruch Shama to Yishtalos, so then it wouldn't be more than that. It wouldn't be part of it.
Right, so it won't be included. So what's the bit? So it won't be included. So he says, no, you're not allowed to say anything before Baruch Shama. You can say after Yishtalos that you can say. Like the Rambam writes, the minute was, in his day, that some communities used to recite Oz Yashir after Yishtava, because Oz Yashir is from Chumash. That's not really part of Pesukei Dezimra, because the Pesukei Dezimra we announce in advance in Baruch Shamar, but the Shiri David Avdecha and the Halacha. We're going to recite Pesukim from Tehillim. Shiri David Avdecha is going from Tehillim. Right, so Vayosha, all of that Vayosha and Oz Yashir used to be recited. It was a minhag, it's not a din, it was a minhag that was instituted a little before the days of the Rambam to recite it after Yishtaba. Now we have the practice that we say in the middle of the Pesuk in Gemara. There's not really a Hepsik, so it's another Shevach, another Zimra. This is the problem. But basically, the Pesuk in Zimra doesn't include the Al-Yosha, but there's no Isra in reciting any additional Zemer after Pesuk in Zimra, but the Vilna Goyim was against reciting Pesuk in Zimra before Baruch Shammah.
It's not a bracha rift in the normal sense of the term then. Or you can, is you just sick with it, you can pull whatever the ratio.
No, no, it's not one long bracha. From Baruch Shammah to Yishtabach is not. It's a bracha ashnucha l'chavetor. And then in between, you sandwich all of your Pesukah Dizim, right? In between. In Rishach Svar, they have not only Hoidu before Baruch Shammah, on Shabbat and Yom Kippur, they have the additional extra Pesukah Dizim also before Baruch Shammah. And this is based on two versions in the Zohar. The Zohar used to be in manuscript until they printed it. After they printed it, so there was no problem. Printed is printed. There's no shadow what the text is. When things are in manuscript, you can have all kinds of text. So the text of the Zohar read, and days of Garizal, the text of the Zohar read, that you should recite these additional prokim of Pesukei Dizimra. Let's see, the old Ksav Yad used to read, the Askino Anshek Neses HaGdele Bistidura de Tushbachto, the Anshek Neses HaGdele instituted in the Seder of the Shvachim, in the middle of Pesukim Zimra, to recite these additional Pesukim Zimra. The Arizal thought that was an error, so he amended the text to read, the Askino Chavraya, Sheirusa de Tushbachto. Chavraya meaning the Chachmei HaTalmud, after the days of the Anshek Neses HaGdele, they were not Askinu Anshek Neses HaGdol, but rather Askinu Chavraya, meaning Chachmei HaTalmud, were Mesakein, and not the Sidur of the Tushbach, and not that they introduced this in the Seder of the Pesukah de Zimra, but rather Sheirusa de Tushbach. So Sheirusa means an introduction to the Pesukah de Zimra. So that's why, by the Hasidim, by the Nusach Svar, they follow the Hagor, the emendation of the Arizal and the text of the Zohar, that these additional problems that we recite on Shabbat and Yom Kippur are supposed to be an introduction to the Pesukah de Zimra, and they hold that if you stay in the middle of Pesukah de Zimra, it would be a hepsik. A real hepsik, it wouldn't be like we introduced Od Yashir, not a hepsik.
What part should
you say? I don't remember. There's a long piece on this, and a small thing that's called the Shah HaKoylon. On the back of the Balatanya Siddur, there's a separate sefer, not the available separately. It's called Sharaka by Lubavitcher Chosin from Europe, one of the big equivalents, the author of the Kabbalah Nefesh. He wrote small sefer, Sharaka, where he explains the Nusach HaTfila of the Balatanya. So Derech Agav, he explains all the Nusach HaTfila. He gives you the sources for the Nusach HaTfila and to the specific Nusach HaTfila of the Balatanya. So he has a long essay on this. As well as about the two versions in the Zohar. I don't remember which one. So that's the issue, whether you say the additional Pesukah de Zimra before Baruch Shammah or after. But whatever the gist is regarding the additional Pesukah de Zimra, there's no Shimon Yom HaShabbos is clear in the Zohar, according to both of the Gisors. Even after the emendation of the Arizal, that's clear that should be recited after Baruch Shammah. Of course, these are additional Pesukah de Zimra. The main Pesukah de Zimra are the ones that we say in the weekdays. These additional ones that we say on Shabbos are extra. If a person comes late to shul, somebody has to daven quickly, the chazan has to start taking over from Sheikh Anad, and he comes a little late, so he doesn't have time to say the whole Pesukah de Zimra. He has to go up to the chutzpah. Not only the chazan, the tzibur, and they want to say baruch together with the chazan, and daven, the main thing of the tzibur is to say baruch with the chazan and continue davening straight. And even if the chazan is going to sing a long kel odom, it's going to take him a long time, the chazan and the choir and everything, it's still the Shulchan Aruch tufo, that the proper thing is to be mekatzeh, to abridge your Pesukah de Zimra, so that you'll get to baruch with the chazan, and then daven along from Baruch Hu till Lishmon Asher and so on. So the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Poskim that if a person has to abridge his Pesukah de Zimra, he's going to have to leave something out. So the first thing that should go should be the Od Yashir, because that was a later edition. It's not at all from the early Anshek Nesar. Then the next thing to go are the Shabbat Zik of Pesukah de Zimra, because they really just added on. The name Pesukah de Zimra from Ashrei till all the Halukah, till the end of Kol Hashanah Tahor for Halukah. Then they have 30 kilometers, which are the major Pesukah de Zimra. But what often happens is that people start saying Pesukah de Zimra on Shabbos at the end, and then they get bogged down in these extra additional Shabbos of Pesukah de Zimra, and then the Chazan is ready up to Nishma, Sabbath, Asher Hanai. So they skip all the names, they skip Ashrei and Halukah, the name Pesukah de Zimra, they skip. From the Shulchan Aruch, they stress that that's an error. You should gauge in advance how much time you're going to have. and make sure that you say the main part of the tzitzit, which is from Ashrei Kol Kol Hanshama, and then if you have more, if you see you're going to have more time, then you say the extra Shabbat tzitzit is in.
Do any of the
Shabbat
tzitzit have to be over
the others? I think with Mashiach, yeah, my Shabbat has to be over the others.
Doesn't the Shemat have Kadima for either over a weekend
fast? Right, right. The Vilna Gaon is quoted by the Chayyot and is saying that when a person has to abridge, when it's really, really late, and he has to really abridge the davening, so the Poskim say that he should daven quickly and say, Baal Shama, Ashrei, and Yishtaba. Because basically the Ashrei is the only thing that's really marked in the Pesukah de Zimah. He said, Baal Shama, before Yishtaba, after the Pesukah de Zimah, the Ashrei in between. So the Vilna Gaon is quoted as saying, and many other Poskim say the same. No. There's an order. Right. First you say all the halal of Kod, then if you have more time, then you say Mizmul HaSodah and so on. So the Vilna Gaon and the others are quoted as saying that that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, the bracha of Yishtabach begins with Nishmas. It doesn't begin with Yishtabach. It's a very long bracha beginning from Nishmas Kol Chal to the end of Yishtabach. Because the Gemara, we shouldn't say this actually, because the Gemara, the end of Tzorchim, calls this the Birchas Hashir. So some Poskim say explicitly, La Halacha, let's say by mistake a person davened on Shabbos and he forgot to say Nishmas, or he abridged the davening and he said Yishtabach. So some Poskim say that to the end that he doesn't have to say over, he doesn't have to repeat the bracha. And others are not so sure about that. Others think that maybe he has to repeat the bracha. Maybe the Vilna Gaon is right, mamish, to the full extent that Nishmas is the beginning of the bracha, Yishtabach and Shabbos, and you even have to say it over. So in this case, for Shara Kailo, he has this short discussion of this. Quotes the various, he doesn't quote the Vilna Gaon, he quotes other Poskim who say the same as the Vilna Gaon. He says that the consensus, that's what he claims. He claims the consensus of the Poskim would be that if a person by mistake said Yishtabach and he realizes that he made a mistake and he didn't say Nishmas, they should say from Nishmas up until Yishtabach, immediately after the bracha of the Yishtabach before he starts Yetzer HaRa Baruch Hashem. But if he already started Yetzer HaRa Baruch Hashem, then he says it wouldn't pay to recite the Nishmas after the davening of the bracha. No, he shouldn't repeat the bracha of Yishtabach. He should just say the rest of the Shabbat that he left out from that bracha. We have a Dinish Manasri like that. For example, let's say a person forgot Yalav Yalvah and Rishvedim. So we pass in the Shulchan Aruch like the Rabbi Natan that if he didn't, let's say he said, today he said Hamar Vishkinosa, but since he didn't begin Mogan yet, so he should say Yalav Yalvah there before he says Mogan. Or the person forgot the same Talamata of bracha. He says in the Shema Kolein, or if he forgets to say in the Shema Kolein, he says Baruch Atah Hashem Shemer Tfilo, and he didn't start with say, so he can say the same Talamot of the Bracha Pnei Adam. Whenever you say something immediately following a Bracha, it's considered as if you had said it in the record. So let's say he forgot Al Anisim. He said Atov Shimcha V'chanor L'Hodot, and he can say also Al Anisim right after that one. Whenever you forgot something from the middle of the Bracha, others disagree, but that's how we pass in the Shulchan Aruch. Whatever belongs to a certain bracha should have been recited in the middle of that bracha, so that the yet that you forgot, you can always recite it immediately following that bracha as long as you didn't begin the next bracha yet. So that's what the Shara Kerlo says over here, that if you forgot to say Mishmas and you completed Yishtabach, then you can say the Mishmas then, because it's really part of the bracha Yishtabach. And if you already started the next bracha, so far from.
If you miss the whole bracha, if you miss the psukim of the bracha, Baruch Shem on Yishtabach, then you don't say it, you don't go back and say it after the davening.
There are different opinions, and we've shown them, and we've asked them that you don't say the bracha. There's one opinion that you say all the psukim of the zimra from Baruch Shem to Yishtabach and everything, you say the whole works. Rabbeinu Yoinu holds like that, and then others disagree and they say no, but the whole institution of psukim of the zimra was only as an introduction to the davening. The Yoinu Misad Rav Mishrach HaShem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yahakak is foul, but the person already davened, so what will he gain by reciting the Tzukut Zimah later? So the Ramban writes in the Tshuva because of the dispute. So the proper thing is that if a person didn't recite Tzukut Zimah before davening, he should recite it after the davening without the Baruch Shama, without the Yishtama. First off, in Brachas Lahav.
That means if I miss Yishma, I don't have to say Yishtama again, I say Yishma, I say
No, Yom Tov Yishtabach again a second time. No. Some would say that you should say over the whole bracha just one yetzer. You must repeat the whole bracha over again with the Yishtabach, with the Shema Malchus and Eliyahu. So the Shara Kerlo is Machriya not so. He comes to the conclusion that you should just recite that part of Nishmas that you didn't say yet up until the Ishtara, and say that after Ishtara.
How about if I skip from Pesukim Zimra, but I found out I caught up, could I go back to Pesukim Zimra, I skipped until the guest was
confirmed? If you didn't start Nishmas yet. Once you started Nishmas, like I notice in Shul sometimes Rabbana and they're davening ahead, and then they say Nishmas and they're up to Sheikh and the Chazar is not up to them, so they take out their skumish and start being Mahdistev. So that's the Mafsik Namish in the middle of a bracha. Big Rabban to that, the Mafsik in the middle of a bracha. Even if it wouldn't be in the middle of a bracha, you're not supposed to be Mahdistev in the middle of Sukkot and Zimra either, you're not permitted to be Mafsik with other things. But Nishmas is considered the beginning of the bracha of Yishtaba, Hamsha.
According
to
the
Ramah,
if you do
repeat
all
the
Sukkot
Israel
without the
Brachos
of the
Ramah,
you also keep
the Shmata? Not really, no. Nishmas
is
the Brachos, really without the Brachos. Probably not. I mean, we're not cautious for the Tzad, it doesn't hold like it only goes? I don't think so. The Rav Soloveitchik used to point out that the Meforshim understood it, explained, if you notice what's going on, they explained that when we start reciting the Sukkot Zimra, we say in the Baruch Shalom, Babashiri David Abdecha, Nahalochon Shabecha, Chonifuercha. We will praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu by reciting Shiri David Abdecha. Then we start working ourselves up and we recite and recite and recite the Sukkot Zimra. And then at the end of all these Sukkot Zimra, we say we give up. We say we cannot. We have the obligation to say more than Dabar HaMelech said. So we throw up our hands and we give up. We say we cannot. We cannot praise God. So we say, Yishtavach Shimcha, let your name be praised, but we can't do it. Yishtavach means his birth. May your name be praised by itself. We are powerless. We are unable to complete it.
Why, if Yishtavach is the beginning of the bracha, how come they have a matzo finishes before Shochein Adi? You have a pesach in the middle of the day.
Right. In some communities in Europe, the practice was that the chazan, new chazan took over from Nishmas. In fact, some communities, my father remembers that in his community, in Vision, when my father went to Vision to Yeshiva, he said the chazan about the Rebbe used to start from Nishmas and sing a special nigun from the beginning of Nishmas to the end. Beautiful nigun for the whole Nishmas, not just for Shochein Adi. She cannot fit into the rest of the nigun, but it began from the beginning. Because they felt this one bracha. Strange, strange minute that we have, we switch chazan in the middle. I don't think so. That's part of the davening. He wants to know what he's saying. He wants to know what he's davening about. I don't think it's allowed. It's also a hefsek. It's supposed to be paying attention to the davening. The person should, if he has time to be mahara, should have time to be mahara in the davening. I would think so. I think it says in the Shulchan Aruch, I don't remember, I think it says that the person had to go to the bath and he should recite Asher Yatzeh after Yishtama, unless he's the Chazan. Then he says Asher Yatzeh before Nishma, somewhere in the middle of the
day.
Then he should wait to say the Asher Yatzeh after the Shema Nesha. Remember, Pesukim in Zimra, we would recommend if it's anybody other than the Chazan, they should say the Bracha Asher Yatzeh after Yishtabach. And the Chazan can't do that. He's going to start saying Asher Yatzeh. But then he should start with Asher Yatzeh before Nishmas or before Yishtabach. The Alteres Dikanim in the Kabbalah, this commentary on the Shulchan Aruch quotes also from the same passage in the Zohar, where the Zohar, you have these two versions, whether the additional Pesukim in Zimra are recited in the middle of the Pesukim in Zimra, the additional Prokhan are recited in the middle of the Pesukim in Zimra, or they're recited as an introduction to the Pesukim in Zimra, that it's only proper to recite these additional passages, whether they're in the after Baruch Shem, but before, only on Shabbat and Yom Tov and not on the weekday. That's why contemporary Pesukim point out that it's not really right that in some communities they recite these additional Prokhan on Yom Ha'atzmaut or on Yom Yerushalayim, because the Zohar says that these are miyuchot for Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Even on Chag Kippur, we don't recite it. The whole idea of Yom HaTzmaut is to establish it as a holiday like those of Megillah's time.
Then why do you say
Erev Hashanah Rabbah? Hashanah Rabbah is also Hashanah Rabbah is a Yom Tov. Chalamay is also right. The Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch say the reason why we leave out Nishmas is because Nishmas is only started on a day when one has a Neshama Yisera. Nishmat Kol Chai means the extra Neshama Yisera seems out to God. So on Shabbos and Yom Tov we have a Neshama Yisera. But on Chalamay it is also had to Kedushas Hayom like a Yom Tov, so that's not considered in violation of this Zohar, to recite these additional Pesukim Zimra. Interesting also, that's a very late minute. They recite the extra Pesukim de Zimra. It developed in Germany in the Middle Ages. The days of the early Achronim, 1300, 1400s, they started this meaning to recite the Shabbos and Pesukim de Zimra on Hashanah Rabbah, and say Shema Yisrael, and they take out the Sefer Torah and so on. In some communities they even said HaMelech HaKodesh. HaMelech HaKodesh. They have all kinds of knowledge. But they give the reason why they give the Shulchan Aruch why the Nishmas is not recited on Hashanah Rabbah is because it's not Hashanah Yisrael. In the middle of the Nishmas, part of the text of Nishmas appear in the Gemara. The Gemara in Tainus, the Gemara in Brachos, the Gemara in Sof, and part of, not the whole text from beginning to end, but parts of it appear. Right, that part of it. That part appears in a few other sections. In fact, there's one part where there's a dispute in the Gemara among the Amorim, the end of Gemara Brachos, in the last Perek, there's a dispute what the correct text should be, and there are two girsas in the Gemara. There are two readings in the Talmud as to what the conclusion is, and the two readings in the Talmud correspond with the two Nisqos, Nisach Sfar, Nisach Ashkenaz. The Baal HaTosfot had the Nisach Ashkenaz, Girsa Mishmar, so we have the Nisach Ashkenaz in the Siddur. And the Gaonim and the Chachmei Sfarad had a different text in the Gemara, so they got the Nisach Sfar. That the Gemara has a question whether you should say Hamuhulo B'roi Hatish Bacharis. The God is praised, B'roi Hatish Bacharis, meaning B'ribui Hatish Bacharis, God is praised with a multitude of praises. Or no, that sounds a little misleading because the term rov in Talmudic Hebrew means the majority of. So we could mistranslate it to mean right, that we only give God a majority of the praises, but not all the praises. We say 49% of the praises to some other partner, to somebody else. So that's where the Talmud raises an objection. What kind of a text is that? Oh, rov hatish bachos. True, it means ribui hatish bachos, but isn't it misleading? So that's why so we have the text in the Talmud that it says Hilchach Nebrinu L'Tzavayu. Therefore, we should say both. We should say Mahulo B'Roi Tatish Bafes. Then at the end of Ishtarach, we should say Melech Mahulo Tatish Bafes. Then Melech Gadol Tatish Bafes, and we don't say Ro. We say Gadol Tatish Bafes and Zol Tatish Bafes. And the other reading in the Talmud doesn't have this text that we should say both. It doesn't make sense. Why should you say Ro? But we just explained that it's wrong. That it's not proper to say Rav because it's misleading, it sounds like Rav alone called. So Rav Zolovechik has a famous comment on this. He interprets that the point of the text that we have, Tokach and Dina Litchavayda, you should say both, Rav and Melech Mahulo Batish Bacharis. So why do you say Rav if it's misleading and it sounds like Rav alone called? So he said, no, it's not misleading. That's true. He should only get the majority of the praises. We shouldn't really give God all the praises that he deserves because if we are really going to give God all the praises that he deserves, then we will never be makir taiva and never praise anybody who does anything. Let's say I have a job in yeshiva, so Dr. Lim gives me a salary. So I have to thank Dr. Lim. He needs somebody to teach. I'm doing a good job. And he's not paying me more than I should get. And if I would go to some other place, I would just get just as much, if not more. And so on and so on. So what would have to be market treasure to you? What would have to be market treasure to you? If you wouldn't attend my lecture, someone else would attend the lecture, I'd get some other things. And what would have to be market treasure to my wife? What do you mean? I earn, she's kind to me, she cooks the meals, but she has to be market treasure to me. I earn a living and so on. So I won't be market treasure to my parents, to my children, to my wife, to my partner, to my boss. No, you won't. If you make a cheshbon, what do you have to be market treasure? And also, it's not for the fact that God decreed that I should have a good wife and I should have a good boss and I should have good students and good business partners and good children and so on, so then I wouldn't have these good associates. And then all the credit is due to God, not to these people. So if I wouldn't deserve it, if heaven wouldn't decree that I should have this, I wouldn't have it. It's not that they're doing me a favor. God decreed that I should get this. So all the treasure really goes to God. You don't have to market treasure for a bunch of the dumb at all. So logically speaking, one doesn't have to be marketizer to any Basavadam, only to God. But if we would act like that, according to pure logic, that all the praises would only go to God, then we would stop praising God himself. Then we would stop praising God, because the Chayyidus Al-Bavis has a famous section where he explains that our belief in God stems from the feeling of HaKarat HaTavit that we have to God. And our HaKarat HaTavit to God can only begin, we can only develop this feeling of HaKarat HaTavit of gratitude if we have a sense of HaKarat HaTavit to our boss of Adam. That's what the Mashgiach, the Chanagoch and Yeshiva always used to say over the Medrash that says that the God came down to see the Migdal Shabbana B'nei HaAdam, that they don't have Flogah. When they were building the Tower of Babel, so it says to see the tower that the B'nei HaAdam had built. So Rashi quotes the Medrash, of course B'nei HaAdam, but then the donkeys built the tower, of course the people built it. So Rashi quotes the Medrash, no, B'nei HaAdam means the descendants of Adam HaRishon, the descendants of Adam, doesn't mean the people. B'nei HaAdam means the descendants of Adam HaRishon. So what does it mean? That because Adam HaRishon said he was angry at God, and he said, Risha Shemesati Yimadi Hinas Nami Va'echa, he didn't have a HaKarat HaTavit HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give him a wonderful wife. So that's why generations later his descendants were Kfuye Tavit HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they didn't believe in God. They wanted to revolt against God. So if one doesn't have a HaKarat HaTavit to a Blessed of Adam, he won't have a HaKarat HaTavit to God. And if one does not have a HaKarat HaTavit to God, he will forget about God. He won't really believe that God exists. That's why the Talmud tells us an expression in Bava Kamma, the Chamra Lamara, the Tivusa Lashakya, that all the wine is paid for by the boss. Let's say you go to a wedding, or you go to a Timcha, so the waiters serve all the food. So when the waiter gives you the food, you say thank you very much. What do you think, thank you? The food is paid for, and the waiter services are paid for, and they got tipped, and everything is covered. What do you have to say, thank you? It's all taken care of. The answer is no. If you go with logic, so you don't have to be marketed to anybody. I paid him, and I gave him a tip, and there's no more HaKaras HaTeva. But if you go strictly with logic, then you won't be marketable to anybody, then you won't be marketable to God. Majority of the praises, because we don't want to give them all the praises. We want to save some of the praises for Bas of Adam, even though the human beings don't really deserve them, logically speaking, because that's the way life has to function. Otherwise, it wouldn't work out well. That's the expression Yigmar has in Bava Kamma. Chamra l'mora, the wine belongs to the Baal HaSuda, and nevertheless, the Tivusa, the thank you goes to Shakya, for the one who's pouring the wine. The commentaries on the Siddur point out that many times the Chazonim sing Shechinad Marom improperly. They should really sing Shechinad and pause. God exists forever. And then Marom and Kadosh Shmo goes together. A lot of times the Chazonim sing Shechinad Marom and pause. And then they say V'Kadosh Shmo. So they say it doesn't make any sense. Shechinad goes together. Marom and Kadosh Shmo goes together. Also the commentaries point out that when you recite the Mishnah, you have to pronounce all the words properly. So one of the words is Eloka called Brios, Adon called Talodos, Aleph Lamed Vov Hey, Eloka. So the correct pronunciation of the Hey with a Patach when it appears at the end of the word is Ah, not Ha, like Koach. When you have a Ches with a Patach at the end of the word, so you don't say Kocha, you say Koach. So here also the correct pronunciation is Eloa, and not Eloha. Here it's not so bad in Nishmas, even if a person mispronounces Nishgefel, but in Halil, where the word appears also, Aleph Lamed Vav Hey, if you mispronounce the word there, so then you're not Yetzi the Halach possibly, because you left out a word, you mispronounced the word, you left it out. A lot of people mispronounce. I know it's in Yeshiva, a lot of the students in Daven Al Rosh Chodesh, Baranamet, the Chazon, so they mispronounce the word. Also the commentaries on the Siddur point out that in many communities, many times you'll hear the people, when the Chazan sings on Shabbos, slowly, Yetzirah Baruch Hashem Chosu Shalom, Varei Fakol, so before he starts saying Hakol Aduch, a lot of people will scream out, Amen. So he points out that this is an error, that this is not the end of the bracha. You're not at the end of the bracha for a long time until you finish Yotzer HaMa'oros. Mishnah says in brachas that there are only two brachas recited before Kriya Shema. The first goes on up until Yotzer HaMa'oros, and the second one is the Yahav Rabba bracha. Basically, the brachas before Shema on Shabbos and Yom Tov should be the same as on the weekdays. The Talmud mentions no distinction whatsoever. The source of this, HaKol Yoducha V'HaKol Yishabchuch on Kel Odon or Kel HaShashavach, this is in the Zohar. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes it from the Zohar, that this is a minhag, this is not a din. This is a minhag to mention HaKol Yoducha and Kel Odon, but this is not biyakid. Let's say by mistake, if a person left it out, or he's in a rush, to catch up with the tzibah, they're going to damage Manasseh, and he's going to say this long piet over here, this is a field. And if he's long piyot, he's going to miss tefillah b'tzibur, so you leave it out, and you say like on the weekdays. The question is, Mekel HaShashavas Mikol HaMasim, which also doesn't appear in the Gemara, it's only found in the Zohar, should also be piyot, which is only recited l'hatchila, not miyati b'rievet. But the Ozerua says that that third paragraph, HaKol Yaduch HaMkel HaOdon, not miyati. It says that Mekel HaShashavas is miyati. And if you left it out, he's chayzer, you have to say it over. Did you really have to daven over? But the person said the weekday tefillah on Shabbos, he said Amir Azul Adon Mala, regular. He said Yotzer HaMa'oros. Did you really have to daven over, say over the first bracha because Lekel HaShashavos is Miyakir? So the Magen Avraham in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch says that the Ezra doesn't mean it. Even though he says it, he says that's not what he means. What he means is the following, that if by mistake he said the weekday Amir Azul Adon Mala, he said the weekday tefillah, and then you finish davening, so then you don't have to make up what you left out. Or let's say you abridged the Pesukah Dezim and you left out the Shabbat Dikah Tehillim. You left out the Shabbat Dikah Pesukah Dezim. So the Ozer Rav means to say, you don't have to make up what you left out. You don't have to say it after the Shemona Esrei, after the davening is over. But this, Lekel HaShashavas, this you should be chayzer, you should make this up after the davening. But it doesn't mean, chalila, that you have to say over the bracha. How can it be ma'akiv in the bracha if it's not mentioned in the Gemara at all? It's only a minig. It's an old minig from the Chachmei, from the days of the Chachmei HaTalmud. That's what the Zohar claims. In the days of the Talmud, to recite these three piyut, Makol Yaduch, Kel Odom, and Kel HaShashavas. The expression that we use in the tefillah here, Makol Yaduch, we say that God opens up the heavens every day, HaPesef V'chalom Dal Shashari Mizuch, V'akeh, Haloni, V'akia, that God takes the sun and he causes the sun to go around the earth and so on. This is, so the simple pshat is that that's the way it appears to us, but it doesn't really necessarily mean that that's the way it really is. We assume, the Gemara himself, Manach Saragala says there is a dispute between the Jewish scientists and the non-Jewish scientists as to whether the earth goes around the sun, or the sun goes around the earth, and then the non-Jewish scientists convinced the Jewish scientists that they were right, that the earth goes around the sun, not that the sun goes around the earth. So if the earth goes around the sun and not the other way, so what do we say that God causes the sun to rise in the east and it sets in the west? What are we talking about? So the answer is that that's poetry. That's the way it looks like. That's the simple shot. That's what the Mephoshim say on the suit. So Rabbi Kivager on that daf and himself and Rav Sarik Dal, he quotes the Shitim Kubetzis from the first parak in Ksubis, but he quotes the Rabbi Netan and says, no, when the non-Jewish scientists convinced the Jewish scientists that they were right, that the sun goes around the earth, the Jewish scientists gave in to them because they didn't want to give them a hard time, they didn't want to argue about it. But I'll leave it to them if the truth really is that the sun goes around the earth. And that's why in our prayers we say as it really is that the sun is going around the earth. This is not generally accepted. I don't think. The Maharil has a minhag recorded from Germany that the many German communities they still practice, that from Sukkot until Pesach they don't sing Kel Adon. They just run through it quickly. And from Pesach till Sukkot, they take time out to sing it. Why? Simply because they want not to miss Zman Kriya Shema. That if in the winter time, the day is so short, so Zman Kriya Shema is much earlier, unless you have daylight saving time, you have an extra hour. But if not the daylight saving time, the Zman Kriya Shema would have been around 8:30 or so, 8:25. So in order not to miss the Zman Kriya Shema, they don't sing the Kel Adon in the winter time. The question is, does it still make sense to continue this practice today if they start davening shacharis at 9 o'clock and they're going to miss Zman Kriya Shema, whether they're going to sing the Kel Adon or not? So why is it that in the winter time? That's a question. So they had, that's a debate among the German communities whether they should still practice this minhag from the Maharil not to sing the Kel Adon in the winter time, because the reason that he gives doesn't really apply to them. Also, not to miss his Zman Tefillah. Okay. Okay. On the Tefillah for Shabbos and Nishman Esrei and Shacharis, we mentioned that Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah at Har Sinai. Why do we mention this exactly about Kabbalah Shnei Haluchos? So I remember as a student in the college, we were reading Franz Rosenzweig's, one of his writings. So I forgot which one. I don't remember. So I remember he claims at that time, at the time he read it, he claims that the Talmud tells us that everybody agrees that Torah HaDibros was proclaimed on Shabbos. Torah was given Shavuos. The first Shavuos in history was on Shabbos, and not only a Shavuos, the holiday of commemorating Kabbalah HaTorah. Every Shabbos is a holiday of commemorating Kabbalah HaTorah, and that's why the Jews sit and learn on Shabbos, and that's why in the Shemoneh Esrei we say, Yismach Moshe B'matna Schelko, Ki Evan HaMikoroslo, we speak about Kabbalah HaTorah and Har Sinai, because every Shabbos is a holiday to commemorate Kabbalah HaTorah. So one of the students asked Rabbi Soloveitchik, is that the real reason why? He said, are you off your mind? He said, what, are you crazy? Shabbos is a celebration of Kabbalah HaTorah. He didn't think so at all. So what do we talk about Kabbalah HaLuchos for? He said, no! He said, the Keflow of the Davening Goy, he said the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, I think the name of his grandfather, if I'm not mistaken, maybe printed in one of the booklets where they have Kibush and Kiyah Shmuel, if I'm not mistaken. So he said, it's a different thing. We want to stress, he didn't explain why so, but he said, we want to stress that the mitzvah of Shabbos is something special, that there's a bris, there's a priest's bris, a special covenant made with the Jewish nation regarding the mitzvah of Shabbos. So the Luchos, the Aseres HaDibros, are called the Luchos HaBris. All of the Aseres HaDibros, whatever is written on the Aseres HaDibros, had a special priest's bris in connection with it. So we say, Yitzmach Moshe Mematnes Chelko, Shnei Luchos HaVayim, Harad B'yodah V'chos B'hem Shmira Shabbos. The Shabbos is written on the Luchos HaBris, so we already know that Shabbos has a special bris. And then we say, Lechem Kosev Soresecho, and another place in the Chumash, it also says that, B'shamer B'nei Yisrael Sa Shabbos, L'Osos HaShabbos Dorosom, B'ris Olom, that Shabbos is the bris. And that's why we quote that pasuk. He already said that Shabbos appears on the Aseres HaDibros, so we know right away it has a bris in connection with it, because the Luchos are called Luchos HaBris. And I quote this additional pasuk where the bris alom is mentioned. He didn't like the explanation that was given by Franz Rosenzweig. In the continuation of the tefillah, we say, Chemdas Yomim Oso Karosa, that God referred to Shabbos as Chemdas Hayomim, as the chosen day, as the desired day. So the commentaries on the Siddur point out, where does it say that Afumish? That God said that Chemdas Yomim. Rabbi Soloveitchik once mentioned, he once asked this to Rav Chaim Heller, where is it mentioned in Afumish? Chemdas Yomim Oso Karosa, where does it say that? So he was very surprised. Rav Chaim Heller told him, right away, I targum Yerushalmi on the topic, by Chari Yachim, by Yom HaShvi, that it says in Targum Yerushalmi, by Chal, is the Chomid. The word Kosa, Nichsva, Vagam Kosa, Nafshi. The word kofa sometimes means to complete and sometimes means to desire and to love something. So the Targum Yerushalmi comments on that pasuk, Be'chal Elokim Bayom HaShvi, that God desired the day of Shabbat, that He chose it. The Rishonim say that. That's what the Mefarshim and the Siddur said. So Rishi wasn't, but that time probably he hadn't looked in the Siddur. But in the regular Mefarshim and the Siddur, they quote the Targum Yerushalmi, that that's the source of this expression, Chem Lasyamim Oso Karosa. In Nusach Svard, they introduce Yismuchu Malchuscha here before Amakat Sheshvi, and Musaf in Shachar is just like we have in Musaf. The Minhag Ashkenaz is that we only say Yismuchu to Musaf. So actually there's a bit of a literature that Tziv has in his Shuvos in the Meshul Dovor, and Mr. Chemer has quite a collection of sources on this topic. How do you say Yismuchu Malchuscha on Shabbos if we know that the mitzvah Simcha only applies to Yom Tov? There is no mitzvah Simcha on Shabbos. On Shabbos there's a mitzvah of Kippur, there's a mitzvah of Oneg, but there's no mitzvah of Simcha. We find that Yom Tov cancels Avelos, and Shabbos does not cancel Shiva, does not cancel Shloshim, it doesn't cancel Avelos. And places quotes in Yerushalmi that this is the reason why, because Yom Tov has a mitzvah of Simcha and Shabbos does not. So how do we refer to Shabbos by saying Yismuchu Malchuscha, the Jewish nation should rejoice on Shabbos? So Rabbi Sosadim and Farshim say that there's a different kind of a Simcha, it's a Simcha Sanefesh, not a Simcha Taguf. Two different kinds of simple, the gist of what they say. Rabbi Soloveitchik thought that perhaps this is the explanation for the Nusach Ashkenaz, that we only mention Yismuchu Malchuscha to Musaf, and not the Shabbos, not the Shacharis, not the Ma'ariv, not the Shacharis, not the Mincha, because there really on Shabbos there is no mitzvah Simcha. I said, why mention it to Musaf? Because he had a Ramban and the Sefer Mitzvahs, where the Ramban says that on Rosh Chodesh in the Beis Hamikdash there was a mitzvah of Simcha because they were bringing korbanos. Whenever you bring Kabbalah in the Beis HaMikdash, then you have a mitzvah of Simcha. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, there is no mitzvah of Simcha. So outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the reciting, the recital of Havel Amesh Chodesh is only a minhag, the Gemara says. But in the Beis HaMikdash, Amesh Chodesh, the Ramban claimed that the reciting of the Havel was an obligation equal to Adin. So Rav Soloveitchik felt along the lines of that Ramban, that perhaps on Shabbos as well, in the Beis HaMikdash, since they were offering Karbonos on the Sofim, it would also be a mitzvah simcha. So in Rusif only, when we speak about offering the Karbonos on the Sofim, then we speak about Yisbuchu v'malchusta. This he thought this was the reason why Nusach Ashkenaz makes better sense to him than Nusach Sfar.
Simcha than by Rosh Hashanah,
by Rosh Hashanah, Nusach. We do mention Simcha, because Rosh Hashanah and Kippur do have a mitzvah Simcha. The Morgan Avraham points out from the Sifrei Kabbalah that Alpi Kabbalah we change the text of the Tfilah on Shabbos from Ma'ariv to Shacharis to Mincha. That on Ma'ariv we said Yanuchu Bo Yisrael Mekad Sheishmech, on Shacharis and Musa we said Yanuchu Bo, and to Mincha we said Yanuchu Bo. And he says that this is Alpi Kabbalah and he doesn't give the reason. On the side of the Shulchan Aruch, the Chassam Sofer and others point out, they quote the reason from the Sifrei Kabbalah. Whatever the words mean, they say the following, that Shabbos evening, Friday evening, the Kedushas HaShabbos is in the Tchina of Malchus, which is, I don't know exactly understand what this means at all. They say that the seven spheres, you visualize them as if they're one on top of the other. So the bottom sphere is Malchus. Chesed the first night Zachor Yisod Malchus, so the bottom sphere is Malchus. So Friday night is the Tchina of Malchus, and Shabbos morning is the Tchina of Yisod, the sphere above Malchus, and Shabbos afternoon to Mincha is his kalavus of all the b'chinas together. So on Friday night, when it's b'chinas Malchus, we say the Mechuvo, the Loshen Mekevon. Shabbos morning, which is b'chinas Yisod, which is Loshen Zohar, so we say the Mechuvo. And Shabbos to Mincha, Shabbos afternoon to Mincha, when it's b'chinas Kol HaSfiras Kulam, so we say the Yonukuvom, everything together. And this is the same reason why, this is what the Chassam said, right? This is the same reason why Api Kabbalah, when you say Hamotzi on Shabbos on Friday night, so the Sama Kuvom say you should hold the two chalas one next to the other. And others say, no, you should hold the two chalas one on top of the other. So I'm not, you should hold the one on top of the other, bottom to bottom, so they should look as if they're one big chalas. So when you cut the chalas, which one should you cut? So the Mekubalim say on Friday night, so you should hold up like that. On Friday night, you cut the bottom chalas, on Shabbos morning, you cut the top chalas. Why? Because Friday night is the Prinas Malchus, which is the bottom sphere. So you eat from the bottom chalas. What's the connection between the chalas and the spheres? I don't know. On Shabbos morning, which is the Prinas Yisrael, which is above the Malchus, so you eat the top chalas. And this is why the Magen Avraham quotes in another place in Reish Pei Beis that Api Kabbalah, Api Gemara, the best Aliyah on Shabbos is Shlishi, unless you were Kohen or a Levi. Kohen or a Levi, so whatever. But then after the Kohen or a Levi got their Aliyah, so then the Gabbai gives Shlishi to the most important man in Shul. So according to the Gemara Megillah, Shlishi is the best Aliyah. And the Magen Avraham says that Api Kabbalah, Shishi is the best Aliyah. So Zohar, why is Shishi the best Aliyah? The Hasidim like to get Shishi. Why? For Shishi is the sixth sphere. From the seven, the Shabbos morning is the Prinas Yisod. Yisod is the sixth sphere. Yisod is the sixth sphere, and Shabbos morning is the Prinas Yisod. This is the reason why Api Kabbalah, the best Ali on Shabbos is Shish.
Shmi is the last
rock
of the
beginning of the world. Right. Thanks to the Gemara, Shmi is a very important Ali. All the Ali is on. Okay, believe that next week I'd like to continue with Musaf and Kiyas.